This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
What place does emotion have in the building of Christ Church? This is a burning issue in our day, and we're going to discuss it in the sermon this morning. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that when we are in contact with you, and when you put your finger on our sins, then there is guilt. There is bound to be emotion. There is also emotion when we hear your voice saying, I declare unto you the forgiveness of all of your sins. There's emotion. God, help us to understand that our Christian faith is built on Jesus Christ and not on our emotions, but that emotions are the after effect of what Christ can do when he lives in our hearts. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now, and let thy Holy Spirit guide our hearts in love and fear today.
Does emotion have in the building of Christ Church? This is a very burning question asked by many people in our day. Some churches are supposed to be too emotional, and some are so dried up and shriveled up that everybody goes to sleep. These are the comments that are made from time to time. What place does emotion have in building the Church of Jesus Christ today? I believe that our Lord has given us a real answer to this question that we ought to read and meditate upon more than perhaps we do. The setting is Jerusalem, and the Passover feast is being served there. Our Lord is present and is going around making quite a name for himself, even though that was not his intent. And so those people were very, very emotional. He there could have won a popularity contest. He could have been called the Messiah for sure. And though there were those who would anoint him to any position that there was around. He had healed the sick. He had taught as no other person had ever taught. And so Jesus knew where he was and the vulnerability that he had of making good friends of these people and taking the easy course. Listen to what he says. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. See, they believed because he was doing the miracles. He was doing the things that they wanted him to do. He probably was saying some of the things that they wanted him to say, too. He had just cleansed the temple. And there were many people there who felt that that was altogether wrong, what was being done, that God's house was being called and made a den of robbers. So he was preaching in such a way that it tickled their ears, and he was doing miracles that astounded their emotions. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them. Even though they kept coming up and saying, "What a marvelous person you are. Surely you are the Messiah. You're the kind of a person we've been looking around for." He would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. In other words, he knew those people who were praising him at the particular time. Word was getting around that Jesus was something, or someone to watch. He had performed these miracles. He had changed the water into wine. In his own hometown of Nazareth, he had announced that he was a Messiah, and it was not the kind of a Messiah that the Jews were anticipating, one according to their own kind. And so they threw him out of the synagogue and chased him out of town. Now John tells us that in his moving about right there in Jerusalem, he got the attention of a lot of people. And they were very emotional, and they were responding to him in a most positive way. This type of action is repeated in every generation. Christianity does touch our emotions. There's no question about that. When you and I are guilty because we have stood before God and said, and he has said to us, that which you did or that which you thought was sin, and I understand the guilt of it because it has come from God and his word and the law, there is emotion there. Guilt, fear, disgusting thoughts regarding yourself, that's emotion. And that perhaps is one of the reasons why in our day they want to get rid of all absolutes, so that we will not have to fight those guilty feelings that we have, that emotion. On the other hand, there is the joyful emotions, where we are told by our Lord Jesus, your sins are forgiven. No matter what that sin might have been, if you had truly confessed your sin to him and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, who has atoned for your sins and paid the price for all of them, then you are forgiven. So you and I can go about with a new song in our heart, a new smile on our face, a new joy in our whole person. When we are weak, and suddenly there is strength that helps us get through the difficulties of life, then there is emotion. I have a strength outside of myself. That strength is Jesus Christ himself. That is emotional. We can put ourselves into certain settings where we are very, very emotional. I can sit at home, or used to be able to sit at home, and listen to Billy Graham as he preached on one of his great crusades. And as he asked the people to come forward if they wanted to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you saw all of these people coming, hundreds of them, thousands of them, and these big stadiums were filled with the masses of people, and then you heard Cliff Barrows get up and sing and have his choir sing, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I tell you, friend, I could get emotional. And my wife would look over at me and she'd say, are you crying? And I'd say, I'm wiping away a tear. Who knows the people who are in that mass of humanity who are coming to Christ tonight? And I continue to thank God for the work of Dr. Graham and his evangelism team. I had the same emotion on Confirmation Day when I would go around and bless these little children and welcome them. It is true it was very formal. It is true that the confession that they had made had been given to them. But as I looked at these kids, I knew that many of them were saying it from their hearts. I do believe in Jesus Christ. And as I placed my hand on their head, I had to think of where is God going to lead them now? But then here was another one, and he didn't quite catch it all and told me that he didn't and was going to be gone when this day was over. And yet we put him through that same ritual. I had real problems. There are emotions that are connected with Christianity. But it is very, very true, according to what our Lord has told us in this text today, that emotions can play an important part in building of the church, but the church is not built on emotion. The church is built on Jesus Christ. The church is built on real, honest, faithful preaching of God's word that climaxes in the lifting up of Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Notice what he said in this text that I have read for you already, and which is our text today. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them. In other words, he was not going to let them take him over. He was not going to let them be the ones who were the followers, and then they would begin to dictate to him. For he knew all men. He knows what we want. We want a Christianity that's made according to our own wishes. He did not need man's testimony, the Bible says, about man. He didn't need what man was going to say about him, for he knew what was in man. He knew then, and he knows now, what is in the heart of people. He knew that as long as he would perform his miracles, and he would say the things they wanted him to say, they would stay with him. But when he began to talk to them about service and taking up their cross and follow him, or dealing with their pet sins, these same people who had praised him would long be gone. In that day, they went at it in their own way, and in our day, they appear in a new church. William Barclay has put it well. And I'm not plagiarizing, I want to give him all the credit. But listen to what this great spiritual giant and teacher of the Word of God has to say. Jesus did not want followers unless these followers clearly knew and clearly accepted that which was involved in following him. He refused to cash in on a moment's popularity. Jesus was a leader who refused to ask people to accept him until they knew what accepting him meant. He insisted that people should know what they were doing. He knows people can be swept away in a moment of emotion and then back out when they discover what the decision means. He knew how human hunger for sensation was with all of us. He wanted not a crowd of cheering people who knew not what, but a small company who knew what they were doing and who were prepared to follow him to the very end. Barclay goes on to say, Jesus will not bow to us. It is not his kingdom on our terms. These are not works. This is a part of faith. When I say, I trust you, Lord Jesus, that means that I am willing to serve you, and that is our faith. That is what builds the church. Men and women who have strong biblical convictions, and they are willing to live and die for them. This is what we're after here in the text today. Now take a look at the setting in our culture. Oh, the temptation to find a church and a preacher who say what I want to hear, whether it is biblical or not. And as a former preacher in a large church, what a temptation it was to read your audience and to preach to their likings. The problem was, I soon learned that it did no good. So people move about from time to time. Church shopping is a reality in our day. It is not unusual for people to say, well, I belong to four different congregations in the community, and the community has not necessarily been that large. Now, it is true that when you and I are not fed by God's word Sunday after Sunday, if that church does not have the gospel to present to you and has no intentions of ever presenting that gospel, for they don't believe that you are lost and therefore you need to hear the gospel, then it's time to go some other place. Often I would say to our people as they were listening to me, if I'm not feeding you, then you go some other place. You know, if you go to a restaurant and the food is not helping you, then for goodness sakes, go to some other restaurant. Well, I don't like to take a look at the church from the standpoint of the restaurant, and certainly a church can have a bad Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. But if consistently you do not hear the word of God, then you need to go to the person in charge of that worship service and have a talk with him or her. And if nothing is done then, perhaps it is time to go. That's not what I really call church shopping. Church shopping is when I want to find a place where the worship service is just at the right hour, not too early on Sunday morning, and certainly not too late, where all of my wants can be satisfied, where the music can be the type that I absolutely want, and not the old, hard music that only God and the writer of the song could understand, and certainly not the praise songs that we hear today, but some of those good old, quote, gospel songs. When I can find that church at the right time, and I can have a preacher who says exactly what I want him to say, then I have arrived. I tell you, friend, church shopping, when that's your critique, is not pleasing to God. The big question is, was God's word preached? Was the way of salvation made clear? Was the appeal made to the lost to come to Christ? And was the believer fed with spiritual food? If not, then again make your concerns known to the church. And if nothing is forthcoming, then you'll have to find another place. But until those are the issues, then it is necessary for us to stay and be church people and get this thing straightened out as best we can. The disease of satisfying my own spiritual likes is found in every denomination and probably affects every congregation to a greater or a lesser degree in our day. I have a commentary in my study that I read quite often when looking at the Gospel of John. It's written by a parish pastor who at one time was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Wichita, Kansas. His name is Roger Fredrickson. I get this quote. Now take this along with Barclay so you see it's just not just one person who is beating a drum. This is what is a concern of truly evangelical people today. says Dr. Fredrickson, we are surrounded by subtle pressures to settle for our kind of a Messiah. The religious star system calls for agents and contracts and an amazing variety of advanced publicity. The narcissistic gospel promises to solve all of my hang-ups and all of my problems. It's almost like a cocaine fix. That's the kind of church I'm after. Secular religious television specials make all our local churches' affairs seem drab by contrast. And the show must get bigger and more dazzling all the time. That is not what Christ wants. He is not after the masses if they will not give him their will. He wants a few who will serve him through good and bad days and will be faithful to him. If the topic is building Christ's church, then I really wonder sometimes if the biggest mission field in the world is not found within the congregation. People who have stumbled in there, and this has become their church, but it really doesn't mean too much to them, whose hearts yet have to be grabbed with the gospel until they know that they are united with Jesus Christ. What place does emotion have in the building of Christ's church? Well, certainly it is there, and we've talked about it. But this is not the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ himself. The emotions of joy, peace, love are the fruit of living with Christ in his kingdom, both now and for all eternity. But Christ is a solid rock, and on him he builds his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That is what Jesus promised when Peter had finished saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked into his face and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." And he was talking to an emotional man. But that confession which you have just made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the foundation upon which I build my church, and that church shall stand. The prophet Jeremiah had also said it well in Old Testament times when he reminds us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." Christ is after committed, faithful followers who trust him as Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray that you will make us faithful, faithful even unto death, and that we will never in any way compromise that blessed gospel that you have given to us. Lord Jesus, we pray this day for those who are sick, those who stand by the bedsides of loved ones who are suffering, and those for whom death draws nigh. Grant that they may hear clearly that good news, that they are in your hands if they will but trust you, and you will walk with them every breath of the way and finally take them to heaven. Be with them, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's program has brought you spiritual comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.